Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. It's Jason Leisure. This is Hallis Intrigue. Coming up, Jason, we will discuss Justin Fields and where he needs to go, if anywhere. And we'll debate the moves that the Bears have made thus far in free agency. All that and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Jason, as we sit here at 11:17 a.m. on Thursday, Justin Fields remains a Bear. Does this present a problem yet?
Not yet, but it is a problem that will need to be solved inevitably. He cannot be back with the Bears if you're drafting Caleb Williams. And on paper, you actually really love to have someone with his skill set rather than a fourth-round pick or a sixth-round pick or just cutting him outright or whatever it ends up being. But it goes so much deeper than that. Mm-hmm. It's more than just on paper. You can't make what you believe will be a franchise-changing move in drafting Caleb Williams number one and then kind of mishandle that and contaminate it by having Justin Fields standing over here on the sideline, by having every time Caleb Williams throws an interception, they're chanting, "We want Justin." Or even worse would be, you know, having them compete and have Justin Fields begin the season as the starter.
Right.
Or like, you know, back like Mike Glennon and Mitch Trubisky, something like that. You can't do any of that. But this problem was kind of foreseeable for the Bears. I think there was a time where, you know, a few months ago, you're making a list of teams that could be interested in Justin Fields, and it's like 10.
Right.
By the time it actually got to the end of the season, and everyone knew where they were drafting, and the writing was on the wall with some of the big veterans. Like, I think that list shrunk way down.
It might have been two.
It was probably there appeared to be interest from the Steelers and the Falcons, but not enough interest, Pat, to say, "Oh, okay, we want to secure this now." It was okay. We're interested as a plan B, because Kirk Cousins is available. Russell Wilson is available, and sure enough, those guys are the guys they got. And now it's like, who's there for Justin Fields? You could easily make a list of teams that need a quarterback, but a lot of those teams are drafting high enough that they can take their own. And now, Pat, another complicating factor of Kirk Cousins, this is all working against the Bears getting something good for Justin Fields in a trade. Not only does Cousins leaves a vacancy in Minnesota, but I don't think you're even considering trading Justin Fields to a division team. But now, that number 8 pick, I would imagine, from the Falcons is up for sale. For whoever needs a quarterback, come get it. So if you want to throw out Denver or Seattle as teams that could maybe need a quarterback and maybe want Justin Fields, well, they could just trade up to number 8 probably, because I think that pick is up for sale.
I think that would have a side benefit to the Bears, though, in that if they want to take a edge rusher or wide receiver at number 9, I think they're rooting for people to draft quarterbacks ahead of them.
Yeah. I was talking only in terms of working against them trying to trade Justin, but you're absolutely right.
Right. And I mean, to me,
they should want someone to trade up to 8 and draft a quarterback.
To me, the most amazing part of this week wasn't Russ or Cousins, but it was the Vikings going and getting Sam Darnold. Like you said, it probably would have been asking a lot for the Bears to make a trade within their own division, but you know, I don't think Sam Darnold's better than Justin Fields.
No.
The Raiders signed Gardner Minshew. I'm not sure Gardner Minshew's better than Justin Fields.
I think they'd rather have him than Justin Fields.
Yeah, and then you go through the list.
Luke Getsy's the coordinator there.
Almost every team that has a quarterback issue has signed somebody this offseason. I mean, if you go down the draft list, the Patriots added a quarterback. The Commanders did. The Jets did. The Giants did. Everybody that you could, you know, potentially map out a road to get Justin there has added somebody. That doesn't mean that Justin can't go there too, but boy, it seems like nobody had Justin as, you know, I think we knew nobody had him as item 1 on their shopping list this offseason. What's concerning to me is how many teams didn't even have him as item 2.
The Raiders would have been a really good option for everybody, except for the fact that they hired Luke Getsy, and there's no way that Luke Getsy or Justin Fields would want that situation again. And like you said, they paid decent money to Gardner Minshew. It's just going to be a tough situation for them to get anything of quality back for him. I don't think it's possible for them to keep him. And it's a bad situation for him that I don't see a clear path to him being a starter in the NFL next year, which that part doesn't seem right. Because while I think the Bears should sit there and say we need to do better, mm-hmm. I also than Justin Fields at quarterback, particularly as a passer, I do think he's one of the best 32 quarterbacks in the league.
I look at it this way. If the Bears didn't have the number one pick and if they were drafting ninth, I think we'd be talking about what receiver you want to pair with Justin Fields.
Oh, I don't know. I think they might still be talking quarterback.
I don't know. J.J. McCarthy.
And maybe moving up. I think they would. I think when your job's on the line like it is for Poles and Eberflus, I mean, you can't. You have to get quarterback right.
Yeah.
I think they'd be sitting there at nine thinking, is there a guy we could get at nine? Is there a trade back option for some, for one of the, for maybe a Michael Penix or Bo Nix? I think quarterback would still totally be in play if they were only picking nine.
Without going down too much of a hypothetical rabbit hole, because this is not their situation.
Because they do have number one and there is a guy.
Yeah. I think the second tier of quarterbacks in this year's draft, which starts with J.J. McCarthy, who's going to go fourth, and then has Penix and Bo Nix from Oregon. I think all of those guys would probably sit behind Justin Fields this year if the Bears were to take them. But maybe. That's neither here nor there. At this point, are the Bears better served to just sit on him until the week of the draft?
Well, they have no choice but to hold on to him until somebody comes with a good offer. I mean, I think the question maybe that you're getting at is, if somebody comes around and offers you something that's not great, but it is an offer, do you take it or do you wait till the draft? Is that kind of what you mean?
Yeah, well, what I mean is
like
this.
If someone calls today with an offer for a fourth, mm-hmm. Are you taking that if you're Ryan Poles, or do you want to just wait till we get closer to April?
I might sit on it. And the reason is this. The Bears are going to spend the next 5 weeks looking at Caleb Williams. They're going to his pro day next week. After that, he's going to come to Hallis Hall at some point for a 30 interview. They are going to get a look at his medicals for the first time, which is unusual for any draft process ever. I don't see the danger in keeping Justin throughout that process. You know, Paul says this all the time. Goofy things happen, weird things happen. I don't know what would happen that would make the Bears throw their hands up and walk away, not only from Caleb, but from all the other quarterbacks in this draft. Mm-hmm. But there may be some value in knowing that you have Justin in your back pocket. I mean, you know, is there a chance, Jason, that if you hear something you don't like out of Caleb Williams, that you sit there and you take five draft picks for him and draft Marvin Harrison and you've got Justin? I mean, I don't see them going that way at all. I want to be clear about that. But, you know, is it worth keeping Justin as a just in case for the next month?
Not so much for just in case for your own, like a contingency for your own team. Yeah. But to one of the points you brought up, a lot changes between now and the draft. The draft is still like 6 weeks away, Pat. What would be interesting, though, is like we were just talking about Denver and Seattle. They both want to make a move, theoretically. Let's just say in this situation, hypothetically, they both want to make a move up to eight to draft a quarterback. Well, if they can't, if somebody else gets in there, mm-hmm. now they're really stuck. Now they don't like Penix and they don't like Nix. Mm-hmm. Now Justin Fields starts looking pretty good to those teams. You know, the shakeups in the top 10 could end up increasing Justin Fields' value, because you end up with somebody's left out of that, mm-hmm. can't get a quarterback, and maybe they're impatient, like Sean Payton, and then they come calling with a decent offer.
We've talked about this a couple times, including with Ryan Poles. None of this is fair. You know, I can hear people sitting at home acting like Justin is getting jobbed here, and maybe he is. Maybe they surrounded him with a bad roster for two of his first 3 years and two different coaches calling plays, and this would be this third and 4 years. Maybe that is not the best setup for him. But I'll tell you this. I think the rest of the league this week has shown Bears fans, a certain faction of Bears fans, that they view Justin a lot less charitably than a lot of Bears fans do.
Well, I think Mark Potash brought up this point that, I mean, how many interviews for offensive coordinator jobs did Luke Getsy get? Three or four? Yep. And got a job. Got one of those. He didn't have to go back to being a position coach.
Andrew Janoco, the quarterback's coach, got a job in New Orleans.
Darnell Mooney got his money. Darnell Mooney, we thought he was going to have to, these last 2 years aren't good. He's going to have to take one of those little one-year prove-it deals, try to come back to free agency next year. He ended up in a good offense and got his money. Mm-hmm. The Falcons paying him that money. There's no question about this. This is indisputable. The Falcons, in giving him that money, are looking at him his last 2 years with the Bears mm-hmm. and saying, that's not on him.
No.
That's the situation. That's everything wrong around him. We know he's way better than that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think...
No one's saying that about Justin Fields, though.
No,
nobody's offering a second for him, saying, well, the problem was the players around him and Matt Nagy and Matt Eberflus and Luke Getsy.
I think a smart team with a quarterback who is not threatened by people you bring on, I think that they would trade Justin and find a place for him, whether it's a package for him or what. You know, you talk about San Francisco, you know, I'm not sure that Brock Purdy is amazing, but, you know, if you had a Justin package for 8 snaps a game, you know, he could run a little, he could throw a little. I think the Eagles, he's a pretty good backup for Jalen Hurts, given their shared skill sets. I think that could make sense.
You know, those are not bad options for him either. You might sit here and say, well, why would Justin Fields be happy about getting traded somewhere where he's going to be a backup? But if he's the backup in Philly or Baltimore or San Francisco, somewhere where the team is good,
yeah.
I mean, injuries happen all the time. And all of a sudden you have Justin Fields is starting 10 games as an injury replacement for a Super Bowl contender. That is good for him at that time, and it's good for him to try again in free right. agency or whatever after that.
I mean, it worked for Mitch Trubisky, amazingly. I mean, he went to the Bills as their backup, wound up getting the starting job for the Steelers. Now, he didn't keep it for very long, but it's that same rationale. Also, you know, Justin...
Nick Foles would be the guy I think of, you know, came in
right.
late, won the Super Bowl with them, and then got, I think, like 4 years, $80 million from the Jaguars.
From the Jaguars, yeah. And, you know, Justin has won, what, a third of the games he started as a pro. You know, he hasn't been around a lot of winning. Boy, there'd be worse things than going to a team that's used to winning. I mean, go ask Roquan Smith what it feels like to step into a situation where winning's expected.
When you talk about fairness in this situation, I find this super interesting, and this has been something we've been talking about since, I don't know, 6 weeks into the season, once right. it was clear Carolina was going to be a disaster.
Right.
Once it was clear that pick was going to be really high, mm-hmm. possibly number one. What feels unfair, the only part of it that feels unfair to me mm-hmm. is that I do think Justin Fields is one of the best 32 quarterbacks in the league for next season mm-hmm. and might not have one of the 32 starting jobs. That squeeze of the way things fall with different teams and teams having to, you know, that feels unfair. But Justin Fields getting squeezed out of this roster because they are measuring him against what they are projecting for the number one pick, that doesn't feel unfair. That feels like sports to me. That feels like competitive professional sports, and while Caleb Williams is not great, he might be. We don't know. No one knows. But you are measuring him against. You are measuring Justin Fields against the standard of what would a true franchise number one quarterback yeah. be, and right. that is fair.
Right. It's what good teams do, and you can look at Alex Smith with the Chiefs. Alex Smith led the NFL in passer rating. I want to say when Patrick Mahomes was a rookie, and Alex Smith's reward for being a really good player, I think he might have made the Pro Bowl that year, was that they sent him to Washington because they said, this is good, but to get where we need to go, we need to upgrade. And they had the upgrade in their building. I think that this is along those same lines. I don't want to, you know, Alex Smith, believe it or not, has had 5 times the success that Justin Fields has
had. Yeah, that's the thing, is he's just Alex Smith, but also there's nothing that tells you Justin Fields will have that kind of career statistically.
No, not at all. Let's move on real quick to Bears free agency. Ryan Poles got a lot of his work done before the...
What work?
Let me finish my sentence.
This is going to be a short segment.
Let me finish my sentence.
Bears free agency.
Let me finish my sentence. He got a lot of work done before the start of legal tampering on Monday. He re-signed Jalen Johnson to a 4-year, $76 million deal. He went and gave safety Kevin Byard a 2-year deal worth $15 million. And as long as we're doing this, we should probably give him some credit for the Montez Sweat trade and locking him up. There is a world where Sweat's the best defensive end available in this free agent class, and Jalen's the best corner available in this free agent class, and Byard is one of the best 3 safeties available, probably. He didn't let any of them get to that point. So I will credit him for that. And now let's get to the free agent period. They have signed 1 starter, and he's a running back. That strikes me as weird.
It's it's weird because you had so much cap space, mm-hmm. and you have huge needs at premium positions, mm-hmm. and you don't have enough of an arsenal of draft picks to fix all of that.
Right.
You have really two draft picks that you could hope to get instant starters, and you're using one of those on Caleb Williams. So unless you trade out a 9 and turn 9 into, like, you know, 2 seconds or something. Yeah. Like, maybe you trade back to, like, I don't know, 16, and you get a couple of second-round picks out of it.
Get a third. Something You'd like probably that. Get a third for your trouble, I think.
I don't know, yeah. Something like that. Like, there were options available that made sense to me, and you don't know the details of every one of these situations. You know, you and I talked the other day about Danielle Hunter from the Vikings, and that contract didn't look that bad to either of us for a team that had a lot of cap space like the Bears. Right. Danielle Hunter got like 2 years, $50 million from the Texans. But if part of why he wanted to go to the Texans is because he wants to be in Houston, you can't offer that.
Which
you
is where
can't
he grew up.
Make
yeah.
this be Houston.
Well, and I think too that a contract on a short term like that, 2 years, I think you could argue that maybe 2 years from now is when the Bears might be able to actually make that leap from hopefully pretty good to elite. And you know, maybe they can't be in the business of giving out super short deals. I mean, you know,
you're talking about like much more measured and reeled in expectations for the upcoming season.
Well, I don't know.
Which could be related to, you know, you're drafting a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say is, I mean, the Texans got to the playoffs with a rookie quarterback. What was the last time that had happened? It had been a long time, if I remember correctly. So last time they'd won a game, I guess. So, yeah, I mean, the Bears, I think the expectations, for me, I don't know. I mean, internally, I'm sure they're higher. You know, if the Bears have a winning record this year and are in the playoff conversation in December, I think that's about right. And, you know, I don't think, I don't know that you can sign players as though you think you're going to compete for a Super Bowl this year.
Ryan Poles has been, since the time he took over, very conservative.
Yeah.
In general, I think he's taken a very conservative approach to the rebuild. The way he has talked about it mm-hmm. matches up with that, where he has talked about wanting to build something that works for 10 years rather than something that, you know, is a playoff team now and then it's gone, mm-hmm. which is kind of what Ryan Pace was doing. I can see the logic of that. It just falls a little flat when you've sat through 2 years that have been pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention everything that preceded that for the last, I don't know, about 4 decades. But you've sat through 2 years of a rebuild, and it's hard to be that patient if you follow the Bears. And now this kind of signals to me, like, it's still going to be a little bit. You mentioned Montez Sweat. I wonder what he would have gotten as a free agent. I mean, the Bears signed him for – Poles signed him to that extension. I think Poles saved some serious money because the cap inflated in a way that was beyond what – everybody predicted, even people inside the league, weren't expecting it to be quite that high. And getting Sweat for 4 years, 98, I mean, that might have been more like 4 years, 120 or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, could have
like
been
that.
For sure. And you also wonder whether Sweat, had he finished out the season on a Commanders team that, you know, I think he said once he got here, everybody was just cashing their paychecks and going home. I wonder whether I think he was probably motivated a little bit here too, in a new building with a new environment. I mean, he was playing for a paycheck either way, but maybe he wouldn't have been as good in the second half of the season. But, I mean, to me, all those deals, you know, look good after, you know, because of the inflation that's happened since. And
yeah.
Makes me wonder about Roquan Smith, honestly. Like, jeez.
I like the moves that Poles did make.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like I like Byard. Byard makes really a lot of sense to me as an affordable veteran safety right. on the back end of your defense. And I like the Swift acquisition, especially at that price. You need playmakers. And I like that they now have three somewhat proven and promising or promising young running backs. Mm-hmm. It's a good group.
Yeah.
It's the best running back trio I think they've had in a long time because a lot of it has been piecemeal. A lot of it has been, well, we'll just, you know, draft somebody in the 7th round or we'll just sign whoever's really cheap as our 3rd running back, and you end up needing him, and you inevitably, Pat, end up playing somebody at running back off your practice squad in week 15.
And there was also a time...
Because you're not well-stacked at running back.
And there was a time not that long ago, I mean, to the point to where I was covering the team, where Matt Forte was getting 94% of the carries.
Yeah, they don't do that
anymore. You know, and You know, the Bears, you know, for a long time just leaned on one guy. The league doesn't do that anymore. The Bears finally came around to kind of not doing that. I think after David Montgomery left, it really forced them to balance things out a little more. You know, trading in Dante Foreman for DeAndre Sweat, I think, is great for the pass game. I think Sweat's a better pass catcher, for sure. Remember, when Foreman got here, it was the thing he wanted to work on because he'd never really been asked to do it before. I think that if you have Roschon Johnson as your third down back, because he's a willing and good pass blocker, I think that's helpful. And, you know, and you have Khalil Herbert as your home run guy. I think it seems like a pretty good lineup to me. Some of those Sweat, or some of those, I call him Sweat. Sweat all the time, Jason.
That jersey is going to be a seller. Yes. Bears Swift jersey, that is going to sell.
Do you think he's going to wear number 0?
I don't know.
We should ask him.
But this kind of gets us back to something that I think we've been talking a lot about with Ryan Poles the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. I would say he has generally made a lot of good decisions.
Correct.
He whiffed on drafting Bayless Jones. He whiffed on the Claypool trade. I hated so much the Roquan Smith trade mm-hmm. at the time.
Yeah.
But I got to say, you know, Tremaine Edmonds for less money.
Yeah.
That is a push at worst for mm-hmm. Ryan Poles. The problem is, Pat, if I ran through their 22 starters, offense and defense, and asked you, like, how many of these has Ryan Poles made a good decision on, it'd be a high number.
Mm-hmm.
But the small number of ones that he has not nailed down are enormous.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking pass rusher, wide receiver 2 and wide receiver 3. You're talking quarterback, which, again, they can fix that in the draft this year. You're talking left tackle. Like, it's huge position. These premium positions mm-hmm. that make or break your success in the NFL, the only one that is definitively solved in my mind for the Bears is corner. There's just all these needs, and yeah. you don't have enough draft picks to fix it this year.
I think you need to give him credit for Sweat. I think that's one.
But that's one of that two is defensive ends.
And Yannick Ngakoue was, you know, of course, the most steady edge rusher in football, and then got here and was not. You know, it's yes, you're right. And, you know, he went shopping. I think it's fair to ask the following question. We're now through, you know, we're in the middle of Ryan Poles' third career free agency period. What has he spent on premium positions? Because sitting here, I can count a couple of inside linebackers, a running back, a couple of backup tight ends the last, you know, couple of years. And those aren't positions that anybody else around the league really pays a lot of money for. And it could be because he sits there and he sees the price that a Danielle Hunter would cost and goes, no, I don't want to swim in those waters. And I think that's fair. Like I said, I'd rather they swim in those waters next year than this year. But at some point, you got to pay. I mean, you got to solve these, you know, corner, edge rusher, quarterback, left tackle. You got to solve these problems somehow. And, you know, a solution, maybe not the ideal solution, but a solution is throw money at it. And he has not done that in free agency at all.
Yeah, you solve those problems typically through huge amounts of money or really high draft picks.
Yep.
Now, granted, they've filled out their cornerbacks with second round picks. So yeah.
I think at right tackle, I think right tackle's locked up. And you could argue, and I would, that right tackle isn't kind of the little brother that it used to be.
Oh, it's important. But he only had, when you talk about solving these problems with either a ton of money
mm-hmm.
Or high draft picks, you haven't had a lot of really high draft picks, actually. You had 9 last year, and now you have 1 and 9 this year. Mm-hmm. So that's like 3.
Right.
But that's it. What you have had is a ton of cap space.
Mm-hmm.
You have had the option to go out and pay some of these guys. And some of these guys that signed, like Jonathan Greenard, for example, is in his mid-20s.
Yeah.
Like, that's not overpaying for somebody that's 33.
No.
I mean, that is a move that could make sense for you. And they didn't do that. I think that if you're looking at this season, and Ryan Poles is looking at the next 5 seasons, but if you're looking at this season, they have too many really, really important positions that they haven't taken care of, and they don't have enough draft capital as of now to do that.
And Justin Fields not going to get them that draft capital either.
No.
I think the pie in the sky vision was the Bears get a pick between number 9 and number 72 or whatever their next pick is from the Justin Fields trade, and that, you know, allows them to think big in terms of acquiring four or five difference makers in this draft. It also allows them to maneuver a little bit because they don't have that gap anymore. Now that's not going to happen. And boy, I hate to get back to Justin, but maybe it's a good way to wrap up. They're not getting anything before day three of the draft, are they?
No, I mean, there's actually was an over under on this the other day I saw of a fourth round pick. You could bet, will they get better or worse than a fourth round pick?
I think a fourth round pick is what they're getting
for Justin Fields. I think if somebody called today offering a third, that would be,
oh,
you don't let them off the phone.
Oh my God, yeah.
So I mean, that's a lot different though. Yeah, you react like that,
right,
like euphorically about this third round pick, Pat.
Right.
But wasn't it like a month ago, Adam Schefter was saying they could get a first for Justin Fields or something like that?
Well, and also, you know, the scenario now where most people are looking at him as a backup, it means that the kinds of teams that might be offering you that trade or drafting are good teams with bad draft picks. And that's real different than, hey, I wonder if the Atlanta Falcons will give me something way high up in round two or three.
If I'm Justin Fields right now, I'm hoping to be released and I get to pick my next team. And I want to go somewhere where they were somewhere good, a good team, where I'm the backup in an offense that suits me. Yeah. Rather than I just want to go to, the Raiders or the Saints or whoever.
I think if the Bears could get a fourth round pick or even a fifth round pick, I'd rather have that than nothing. Even if they try and spin it as we're helping Justin help himself, I think you owe it to the franchise. Remember,
if you can, but if there only ends up being one team interested,
right,
let's just say hypothetically it's the Broncos and they're the only team really interested. Well, what are they going to give you if they're the only team? They're not bidding against anyone. They'll give you a sixth or a seventh to ensure that he ends up with them and doesn't hit the open market as a free agent.
I don't think we're at that point yet.
No, but I mean, come the draft.
Might be.
Come the first week in May, I think we are.
Ugh, Jason, it'll be a long off season. It already is. By the way, should we mention Jonathan Owens, Gerald Everett, anybody else by name who the Bears signed that we haven't brought up?
I think you just did.
So okay, depth pieces and a little more than that.
Why don't you mention the special teamer that they signed, Pat? Let's see if you can.
His first name is Amen. His last name I will learn to pronounce at some point.
Ogbonbamiga.
Is that right?
I think it is.
Good job, Jason.
I'm almost positive it's Ogbonbamiga.
We'll just call him Amen. That's a great first name.
Yeah.
Do you ever see the Amen?
His Twitter account is @closedprayer.
That's clever. I love it. Did you ever see the Amen TV show growing up?
You talking about the A-Team?
No, Amen.
No.
No. The guy who played George Jefferson plays a preacher.
Okay.
It's great.
Okay.
It's great. Look it up. Great theme song as well. Anyway, he's Jason Leisure. I'm Patrick Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again real soon.
Have you ever wondered why anyone drinks Malort? Or if there are actually lobsters in the Chicago River? Then listen to the Curious City podcast, where we answer all your questions about Chicago and the region. WBEZ's Curious City is part of the NPR network and available wherever you find your podcasts.